We've been talking about the inner man and outward man, and I want us to really grab hold today of the importance of the walk of the Spirit, of walking and developing Christ in you. It's a concept that really is foundational to the church, or should be, that once you're born again, you are born from God. At least your inner man is. And then from there, we are to put on the new man. We're to bring Christ forward into our life, his attributes, his love, his joy. That joy that Christ walked in, the love that he walked in, even the holiness that he walked in, was of a righteousness that came from God himself. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and had the light of God in him. And when you were born again, that light was given to you, that righteousness. And it brings to a concern, or I can say that the picture of I have an inner man that's born of God and an outward man that's born of Adam. It really exposes the carnality that's available to the church. And as I say this, I want to be careful. I don't ever mean to belittle anything anyone has ever done in the name of God. Every soul winning, every feeding the poor, building a well, building churches in other countries. Those are all wonderful things and good things. They're good deeds. But there's a picture in these scriptures about the inner man and outer man that really expose and how the church can be carnal and serve God and do good works through their outward man, their carnal man, and do it for God as an offering to God. When you begin to see that you can live with God through your inner man, which has to mature, or you can simply start serving God and believing God through your outward man, you find that that's a shortcut, an easier way to walk with God without facing your cross every day. What can I do for God? You've heard me say that before. The motto for the carnal church is, what can I do for God? What can we do for God? How can we help God bring his kingdom forward? And again, I don't want to belittle that, because that's where most believers actually live. And God bless you. You're going to make it to heaven, and God will be pleased with you. But as we go deeper into this picture of the inner man and outward man, let's start in Romans chapter 13. And the Lord began to show this to me, and then little clues begin to match up all over the New Testament, the wording. So in Romans 13, we'll start in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time is now. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. So look at those wording. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. So you see this terminology in Paul's writing, cast off, put on. And see, for a believer, that is a picture of transformation, that I'm putting off the old man and while I put on the new man. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So as a born-again believer, when you're born again, the picture is clear, to me at least, that I have an outward man with a mind, desires, and emotions, a soul, that is what we call the flesh. It is that where the deeds of the body come from. In this outward body is a soul that has desires. And it's not always just for sin. It's generated by this outward man's ability. But then it tells me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought I was born again. I thought I had Jesus in me. but he's telling me to put on Jesus. And that is a great picture of transformation, that I have to put Jesus on. He's not automatic. And this is kind of one of the reasons I have frustrations with the terminology to, I just identify with who I am. I like it when it comes to you knowing that God loves you, knowing that he sees you as his child. I do appreciate that terminology. But when it comes to accomplishing things for God, walking in our ministry or calling or doing things for the kingdom of God, I hear that over and over again. You just need to accept who you already are. You're already full. You just need to think differently and accept who you are. Believe it and walk it out. But the picture of the inner man, outward man exposes that that's not accurate. That my inner man is like a newborn baby. It must be renewed in knowledge, built up in the knowledge of God. And at your very beginning, at salvation, the light of Christ that he gave you, that was God's righteousness. You actually were given a piece of God. We say it's God in me. And yes, God dwells in you, but it's more, he gave you a piece of himself connecting you to him. And that is your new nature. It is a new nature of righteousness. So if you're in the spiritual people group, and not the carnal people group, the spiritual people are focused on developing Christ in them, putting on Jesus Christ. That's his attributes, his standards, his knowledge that he was able to have, God wants you to have as well. I'll read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, for whom I'm labored in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. See, that's a picture of transformation. Real quick, I'll go back to one of our famous verses in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 22. We read in Galatians, in Romans, that we're to put on Christ, that Christ is formed in us. God couldn't form Christ in your outward man because your outward man is of this earth. It's of Adam. And no matter how much you shine it up, it's still not righteous. It's not the righteousness of God. But your inner man, the new man, was born of God. God gave you. He took out that old nature of sin that you received from your parents and from Adam. And he quickened it and turned it into a nature of righteousness. That nature is what makes you righteous. We're righteous not because of the works we do. We're righteous because we are born again with that new nature. But the new nature also brought to life your inner body. The human spirit has been reborn. And now it has to develop and mature. And that's where the real discussion gets to is, do you have it all now that you're born again? Are you like Christ complete? Or do you have to develop Christ in you? You couldn't do it before you were saved because you were of darkness. So God cannot give you his righteousness and make you righteous even though you were dark. That's why when you get to heaven, all your good works do not make you acceptable to God. God, I didn't accept Jesus. I wasn't born again, but I lived really good. I fed the poor. I was a good person. I got a lot of good works to help the people of this world. And he'll say, all those good works are birthed from unrighteousness. I cannot accept them. There's no work you can do before you are saved to become righteous because you were of a nature of darkness, you were of a species of darkness, an unholy, unrighteous species that was not of the righteousness of God. But after you're born again, your inner man, which was born of God, can produce the works from that righteousness. But those works have to first, that inner man has to first mature and grow up in knowledge and in emotions of joy, love, peace, and in holiness standards. But your outer man is not born again. It was left in the same condition that God found you. Your outward man, your outward mind, emotions, and desires is still of Adam. Unworthy, no righteousness in it. That's why God's going to give you a new outward body, a new outward mind, a new outward emotions when the trumpet sounds. It's the reason when someone dies, they're not angry in heaven. They're not lustful in heaven. They're not selfish in heaven or jealous in heaven. Because all the desires, sources of those lusts of the flesh are in the grave on this earth, turning back to dust. Because the outward man cannot generate righteous works. And as I've been learning about this inner man, outward man, it really has exposed in me personally that God cannot accept any work I do through my outward man in offer to him. He will not accept that. It's not pleasing to him. He only wants the works that are coming from righteousness. And it's a real caution for me in the church world, because most of the church world is about what can we do for God? Let's go win the world, be a good person. And all those are good to start with. Don't get me wrong. I think they're all good. But they live there. People live there their whole life serving God, being faithful to church, doing good works, but never focusing on also developing that inner man. In other words, there is a work that God will do through you, through your inner man, that's Him working through you, that is righteous, and He will receive that as an offering. But there's works you can do for Him. The motto to the carnal church is, what can we do for God? The motto to the spiritual people is, what can God do through me? Because whatever He does through you, He'll receive that as an offering of righteous work. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That's a picture of your outward body, mind, emotions, and desires. That we are to put him off, we're to put off the outward man's desires, directions, standards. We're to put him off, cast off those works of darkness, he calls it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So renewing takes place in the spiritual part of your mind. And verse 24. And that you put on, remember it said in Romans 13, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 here in Ephesians says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Your inner man that's been born again is birthed of God in true righteousness and holiness. That is a gift from God to you. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You received it by faith, even the faith He gave you. And that new man is now born of righteousness. That same light that was in Jesus is now in you. You're a child of righteousness. Now, you can remain a child your whole life, and we see that in many people. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm doing passing review here, but just stay with me. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, these babes in Christ are not people who were just born again today, and now you're a babe in Christ. No, these were people who were preachers and ministering under the gifts of the Spirit, seeing signs and wonders and miracles and prophesying and teaching and revelation and discerning of spirits, all within the church. But yet he says, you are still carnal. you're a baby in Christ. I mean, you're still operating with God through your carnal man, but your inner man is still like a baby. You have not been focusing where you're supposed to focus. You've been out trying to get busy and win the world, when really the first focus should be in growing up that inner man so God can begin to do things through you instead of you doing things for God. This is where I get the picture of the carnal church. There's a carnal church called the Carnal Tree of Ministry. I remember when I began to pray in tongues, I got excited because I learned a certain way to walk with God. And I learned it really well. And there was other young men and women with me in our group that were all seeking God and called to ministry. And after Pastor Dave Roberson taught us to pray in tongues, I got excited. And I started to practice it, praying a couple hours every morning. And I thought to myself, oh, this is great. These other guys, they're not praying in tongues. They didn't grab hold of the message that Pastor Dave inspired us with. But they were always more equipped, more charismatic, more talented, more capable than me. That's kind of, I think, why I ended up relying on the Holy Spirit, because I didn't have enough in my own ability to compete. And not that we're to compete, but, you know, back then I was, you know, wanting to be used of God, but other people were in the way. And being picked. And I remember saying, oh, this is great. I'm going to pray in tongues. And we're all learning to walk with God a certain way. And I'm going to add praying in tongues to my tree of ministry. And so my tree is going to go higher than theirs, because those suckers, they're not praying in tongues like I am. And forgive me for that was when I was in my early 20s. Forgive me for that immaturity. But then the Lord corrected me. I didn't realize back then what he meant as much as I do now. He said, no, it's a different tree. That the religion I had learned about how to walk with God and pray for the people and build churches and lay hands on people and win people to Christ, he said, that's a different tree. That the walk of the praying in tongues is doing something different. It's building something different than me. It's not adding to that tree. And I see it now that there is a carnal path. I call it the carnal tree of ministry. And it's in 1 Corinthians. He calls these preachers carnal and babies on the inside. And then in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And at the end of chapter 12, he says, desire the gifts, but let me show you a more excellent way. So it's okay to desire a gifting that helps you in your calling, but let me show you a more excellent way. So chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit are the less excellent way, where chapter 13, developing the love of Christ in you, is a more excellent way. Now, if you had to choose, if I said, hey, I'm going to take you to a restaurant, I'm buying, I want to treat you well, so you can pick the more excellent restaurant, the fancy steakhouse that's very expensive, I want to buy you that. Or I can take you to the little fast food place on the corner, and I can buy you dinner there, the less excellent restaurant. Well, hopefully you'll pick the more excellent restaurant. And in your walk with God, you can choose to walk down the carnal path of ministry, which will still get you to heaven, but it's not going to get you rewards. And that's the part I want to really emphasize today. The rewarding of God to his servant for us born-again believers is not what we offer him. It's what he can bring through us. The real reward is going to be how much of the love of Christ have you formed in you. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. So this carnal tree of ministry, I call it, it's like a Christmas tree. In Canada, where I'm from, up in the northern Rocky Mountains of British Columbia, we have lots of pine trees. But you won't find any fruit trees. So the pine trees, they produce little green sticks. We cut them down and make them into Christmas trees at Christmas time. And there's no fruit in a pine tree. You can't really eat it I suppose you could, but it's not going to give you a lot of nutrients. It is not a producer of fruit. And that pine tree, what we do at Christmas time, we cut it off and we bring it to our house and we decorate it with little gifts, little balls that symbolize fruit. We say, I'm going to turn you into a fruit tree today. I'm going to put little balls of fruit around you. We're going to even paint them, make them really shiny and put lights on you. And under every Christmas tree are the gifts. So that's where that's a great symbol of the carnal tree of ministry, the carnal path of ministry, is that you're not producing Christ from inside of you. You're talking about Christ. You're representing Christ, telling people about Jesus instead of showing them Jesus. And that is why I call it the carnal tree of ministry. It's like a Christmas tree. It's got nice gifts underneath it. Well, there is a Christmas tree in the church world where they're not producing the fruit of Christ in them, the fruit of Christ's love being formed in them. They're focusing on activity and busyness. And so if you look at that ministry, it's like a Christmas tree. It looks nice. It's got nice little balls on it that look like fruit, and the gifts are under there. The point of the gifting is it's limited to your calling. But there is a walk with God through the love. And that's what I would say to you, that in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, that chapter 13 is written about the spiritual people. Paul said, I couldn't speak to you about spiritual as spiritual people. Not spiritual, having spiritual experiences and going to heaven. No, no, no. The development of your spiritual man, causing that baby of your newborn inner man to develop and grow. And that is from what I believe the basics of how what you feed that inner man is praying in tongues, worship, meditating the Word of God, and fasting helps you deal with the outward man. So chapter 13 is written about the spiritual people that Paul mentions here in chapter 3, the love chapter. Not love in action, as in my motivation is to love you, but love that what God can do through the love of Christ that you formed in you. It doesn't come automatic. You're not full of the love of Christ, just like you're not full of the wisdom of Christ or the knowledge of God when you're born again. But you have the ability, the capability is there, because that new man, the inner man, is born in righteousness. That's a piece of God that was gifted to you. You actually have a piece of God in you, that new nature. And he wants everything to come from that righteousness. He wants to win the world with Christ in you, not with you in the name of Jesus. So I'll read this again, chapter 3, 1. And brethren, I cannot speak to you as to spiritual people. Spiritual people, I'm going to connect this to chapter 13, the love chapter, the love of Christ being formed in you. But as to carnal, I had to speak to you as carnal people. The carnal people, I'm going to connect to chapter 12, where he describes how the church operates with carnal believers. That they were the gifts of the Spirit are given to you because of your calling, not because of your maturity. Where in chapter 13, the love chapter, that's about the love of agape love, the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is what authorizes the entirety, the person of the Holy Spirit to work through you. So not just the gifts. Jesus didn't operate under the gifts like our church does today. It was the Holy Spirit working through him, but it was the whole person of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if you needed healing, if you need deliverance, if you needed faith for finances, whatever it was you needed, through Jesus, you can get the answer. But if you go to a lot of the churches today, it's different giftings for different men and women. Where if they develop the love of Christ in them, they'd have access to all of the Holy Spirit, not just a portion, a part of the Holy Spirit. Hope I'm making sense. But I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So there is a walk of serving God your whole life, where you are doing good works, you're dedicated, you're faithful, but it's through your carnal man. And your inner man remains like a baby. That's what these guys were. They weren't newborn Christians. These are men and women who walked with God for a season, saw miracles and signs and wonders. But in all that, they remained like children, like babies. And here's the warning I want to give to the carnal church. I don't want to belittle it, because I started there, and I wouldn't be able to get to where I was unless I had what I had back then. But I want you to see the warning. The warning for 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church starts in chapter 1, verse 29. And just follow me. I hope you're following me today. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's a hard thing to understand about God. He only receives offerings and gifts that come from him. Not from you trying to win him over. Not you trying to earn something. It's what he can do through you. No flesh will glory in his presence. And he talks here about human wisdom versus wisdom from those who are mature. And like I said last lesson, the human wisdom wasn't them teaching math class in Sunday school. Let me teach you algebra. No, it was the interpretation of God through their human understanding, their natural man's understanding. You have a source that you're wearing in your outward man that will try to interpret God, interpret Scripture. That flesh will try to tell you how to succeed, how to be a good person. And if you give it what it wants, it'll reward you with feelings of happiness and success. If you deny it, it will punish you. So their understanding about serving God, Paul is saying, is carnal. It's human wisdom about God, about the Scripture. And it gets worse, and here's the warning. We'll start in chapter 3, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. He's talking about doctrine. I've laid the doctrine for the church here, a foundation, and that foundation is you need to be born again through Jesus to go to heaven. And he says, I've laid that foundation, and others are going to build upon that foundation. Other preachers or people are going to give opinions. Let me be clear. We should be careful what we say about God. And with social media today, we have every corner, every idea being spoken about God, about so many opinions. And the moment you speak about the Word and speak about God, that should be a very holy moment, because you're releasing doctrine. You are teaching an idea about God. I had one young preacher one time taught it wasn't a great message, it was a sorry message, but he was frustrated with everyone trying to grow in God, and he just wanted us to go do the kingdom of God, go minister to people. He said, you know, we have too much doctrine in the church and too much pursuing of doctrine. You don't need doctrine. You just need to have faith in who you are and step out in faith and know that God has done it for you and accept that you are who he says you are. Too much pursuing of doctrine. We don't need that much doctrine in the church. It's not our job to keep seeking doctrine. And he hammered doctrine. And I remember afterwards I said, wow, that was the best doctrinal message I ever heard about not chasing doctrine. Because even his offense towards learning more about God, he taught a doctrine about how to walk with God. And whenever you represent the Scripture and represent God, you become a minister, which means you're accountable for whatever fruit comes from that, good and bad. And you know, the Scripture is very clear that the teachers will be more accountable for what they taught because they influence people. Your opinion matters. You want to make sure everything you say about God is real, really from God. Well, you're wearing a natural man that is full, that can try to humanly, naturally try to interpret scripture and all that, but he'll never understand the things of God. That's the human wisdom. And Paul says, I've laid a foundation. Anyone can build on it. Let's read again, verse 10, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's saying there is a foundation that will get you to heaven, and that is you must be born again through Jesus Christ. And he said, others will lay on top of this foundation many ideas and doctrines and opinions about God. And he said, but there only is one foundation. There's only one way to God. There's not two ways. There's not five ways. There's only one way, and that is through being born again through accepting Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So everyone's work that's produced from their doctrine, their opinion, their ideas, their faith, will be tested by fire in the day. That's the day of our, not our judgment, but the church will stand before God, and he will confirm, and he'll look at all of our works, every work that came out of our life. And it'll be tested by a fire. And when those works are tested by fire, verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So there's going to be a testing of our works. And I can prove to you if you see it, but there is a human wisdom about God and there is a spiritual wisdom about God. In other words, you can try to calculate, understand God through your natural man and do works through your flesh, but no flesh will glory in his presence. So every work that we do for God is going to be tested by fire. And if it originally comes from the work of your outward man, the efforts of your outward man, you're going to see all those works burnt into ash, because God cannot accept things from the flesh as holy. He can't. I remember when I got invited to be on television across Canada, and it was such an honor, and they asked me to come up and teach, and I got excited. It was back in my early 20s, and I say, oh God, you've seen my faithfulness. You're promoting me. You've seen my faithfulness. You're promoting me and honoring my faithfulness, my good works, my humble heart. And he corrected me instantly. He said, no, I'm not promoting you. He said, you have enough of my truth in you that I want to promote that truth to touch many people. And that's the part I want you to see, that there is a work that God will bring forward through the maturity of your inner man, through the knowledge and through the revelation that you're able to fill that inner man with. He'll bring that forward, and it's him doing the work through you. You get to go along for the ride, but he's not promoting you. He's not promoting me. he only promotes himself in you. How much of Christ have you formed in your life? That drives me to the prayer closet. That encourages me every day. Get to the prayer closet. Go spend time with God. Go spend time in worship. Go spend time reading your word, because I'm developing that inner man, or he's developing that inner man. I'm putting on Christ, his attributes, forming Christ, his attributes in my inner man. 1 Corinthians 13. He's talking about the more excellent way, that is the love of Christ in you. Developing that love of Christ in you so he can have action, have you do action through that love. It's not you being excited and doing things for God in the name of love. It is the love of Christ that develops in you becomes the authority for the Holy Spirit to do works through you. And this is, I want you to see this warning. If you walk with God through your carnal man and live your whole life serving God and thinking you're going to get a great reward, you're not. Because he will only reward righteousness, things that come from himself in you. I know this sounds hard, but we need to reset the church on the proper foundation. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. I'll start in verse 2. But though I have the gift of prophecy, now he's referring to chapter 12, the less excellent way, the Christmas tree of serving God, instead of the fruit tree. Chapter 13, if I have the gift of prophecy, and God uses me in prophecy because I've learned how to yield over to be to the prophetic, and to understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I've learned how to teach from hearing the Holy Spirit from the outside. And though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but do have not love, I am nothing. So he's not saying if you're not motivated by love. He's saying that if it doesn't originate from the love of Christ through you, that's in your inner man, if you haven't built up enough of that agape love in your inner man, then you're operating in the flesh. And you're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, just listen to how this contradicts the common idea of church. To go do good works. Yes, we need to do good deeds all the time. But there should be a transformation that happens in your walk where he works up with you through your calling, but eventually there's enough of the love of Christ in you that he's able to use that as the authority. And that's where your reward is. Your reward in heaven is going to be how much of the love of Christ have you formed in you. Not what the good works you do to try to offer him things. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, that's a reference to what we read in chapter 3, that our works are going to be tested by fire. And if the source, the origination of our works is through our human wisdom, our carnal man, ability and talent and skills, you won't get a profit. You won't be rewarded, because he will reward only what comes through the love of God that's been formed in you. Let's go to John chapter 8. And we'll read verse 23. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I'm not of this world. Jesus is telling the Pharisees that I'm not of the world, I'm from above, you are from beneath. And that's how we should see our outward man and our inner man. Our outward man is of this earth, and that's why when you die, it goes turns back to dirt. But my inner man is eternal, my spiritual man is from above. It's from heaven. It's from God. Jesus said, I'm from above. I'm not from this earth. Many Christians think of good and bad when they see themselves. I'm good or I'm bad. And that's how I'm changing. I'm changing my bad into good. I'm changing from being angry to being nice. I'm changing from being selfish to being generous. And they look at their transition from bad to good. But really, the better picture is from above and from beneath. There is good things from beneath that aren't from above. But there's good things from above that are eternal, that are righteous. Everything from above is righteous. And God wants us to form those attributes from above in our inner man. A better way to look at ourselves is not from good, from bad to good, but from dead to alive. You were in death. Even though you were existing and breathing, every person who's not born again is in death. Not dead like a dead animal on the road, but they're in death. And salvation is going from death to life, from beneath to above, not from bad to good. And we got to see that we are born from above. And in John chapter 3, we'll read this as maybe my last verse. Verse 1, there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this is where we get the picture of being born again. But if you look up that word again, it also means from above. Jesus says, unless one is born from above. That's another interpretation of that word. Born again, born from above. You and I, when we got saved, we were born from above. But not our outward man, our inner man was. And that is where God wants to see the fruit come forward of the love of Jesus. That's a fruit that comes forward if you invest into that inner man. And the four ways I know to invest into that inner man: pray in tongues, worship God, meditate the Word of God, and fasting. Though that's why we preach this over and over and over again, because every time you do that, every minute you spend praying in tongues, every minute you spend worshiping, reading your Word, you are building that inner man. God is taking His truth and beginning to pour it into your inner man. And your inner man is growing and developing and maturing. And as the love of Christ begins to be formed in you, you are putting on Christ and putting off the old man. Then you're going to see that God will do things through you. Your calling is found from it coming up out of your inner man, not from you chasing it or doing it or building it to give to God. Every work that we do will be tested by fire. And that fire will be, did it come from the efforts of the outward flesh? Or did it come from God working through you? And I'm going to give a warning to the church world. All the good works you're going to do, they may not be happy with this, but if it comes from the efforts of the outward man, it is not considered a righteous offering. The only place that outward man belongs. I hear a lot of messages of, you need to be your best self, best version of yourself. Well, the best version of yourself, that outward man, is on the cross, on the altar being sacrificed. That's how far the church world has come. Serving the outward man. How do I get the outward man to serve God? And you rally lots of people, do a lot of good works, but boy, when you stand before God, you'll stand before Him alone, and every work will be tested. You'll stack up all your works, and you'll put a match to it, and that fire will either not touch it because it's of gold, silver, and precious stone. It's from Christ in you, that God did something through you. And isn't that sound like God? He gets all the glory. We're not going to be able to stand before Him and say, look what I did for you. Look at what I accomplished for you. look at how much I did. Give me my blessings, God. I earned it. No, there will be not one thing that you'll earn from God, even your reward. It all is about Him. And in that righteousness, your inner man is righteous, the same righteousness that was in Jesus. And He wants to create Jesus in you, His attributes, His love, His joy, His holiness. And then He wants to touch the world from that place. That's where you'll find your calling. That's where you'll find your reward. How much of the love of Jesus has been formed in you, that God can work through to touch the world around you. Because that is righteous. It's of Him. It's Him through you, not you for Him. Hope I'm making sense, but this inner man, outward man picture is really exposing in me and in Scripture so many things I didn't really see. We are born of righteousness. We're born of above. We went from death to life, not from bad to good. Let's walk in the above. Let's walk in that life. Let's develop that life in us so the rest of the world, your friends, your family, your workmates, can get a taste of Jesus through you. Not just us preaching about Jesus, but let them taste that love of Jesus that's been developed in you. And one taste will rock their world for their whole life. Just one taste of the love of Jesus that's formed in you, that agape love. It must be developed and formed in you. It comes forward from the new nature into your inner man. That's how we'll see revival. I appreciate you spending time with me. Let me preach at you. Again, I love you and I believe in you. God believes in you. Let's keep marching forward. Let's keep developing that inner man. Let's keep praying in tongues. So many great things God wants to do through you. The motto of the carnal church is, what can I do for God? The motto of the spiritual people, what can God do through me? Amen. I'll see you again soon. God bless.